Such lovely weather. It's such a sunny day. I think I'm going to go to the beach today and lay out there beside Lake Michigan and catch some rays. Anybody want to join me? I didn't think so. All right. Again, I brag on you and I'm proud of you for making it out today. You know what I just did? I have the wrong notebook. Daniel, run back to my office and get the red one off my desk. That's all right. That's what happens when you have two sermon notebooks and you grab the common one. Today I'm going to continue, though, while Daniel's fetching my notes. Today I'm going to continue our series entitled A Christmas Story. And we're going to be looking in a moment in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. These are the same verses that Gary read earlier. And they are our series of, this is the second in our series of four messages that will conclude on Christmas Day. And last Sunday, if you'll remember, we dealt with the subject of hope as we looked at the Christmas story through the eyes of Mary. Today, we will continue our series with Joseph, and we're going to focus on courage. So as we focus on courage, as we did last Sunday, let's see a little clip from the movie A Christmas Story. Kirk, if you'll play it.
If Higby thinks I'm working 1 minute past nine, he can kiss my foot.
Come on, up on Santa's lap.
Here's a wet one.
Then what's your name, boy?
Come on, Randy.
And what do you want for Christmas, Billy?
A toy truck. Get him off my lap. He's wet.
Bye, Billy. Oh, I hate the smell of tapioca.
Merry Christmas.
9 o'clock, great Scott, the store is going to close.
Santa can't wait all night, let's go. Come on up on Santa's lap.
Get moving, kid. Quit dragging your feet.
Come up! Ho, ho, ho! Ho, ho, ho! Up! Ho, ho, ho!
Get him out of here!
Come on, kid!
Ho, ho!
Come on up,
ho, 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 ho.
Then what's your name, little boy?
Hey, kid, hurry up, the store's closing.
Come on. Listen, little boy, we've got a lot of people waiting here, so get going.
What do you want for Christmas, little boy?
My mind had gone blank. Frantically, I tried to remember what it was I wanted. I was blowing it.
Come on, kid. How about a nice football?
Football? Football? What's a football?
Without conscious will, my voice squeaked out.
Football. Okay, get him out of here.
A football? Oh, no. Okay, what was I doing? Wake up, stupid. Wake up. No.
No, I want an official red order card when I shoot you in a jet with my laser rifle.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
All right. So we have the little clip there of Ralphie seeing Santa. That was pretty traumatic, wasn't it? I tell you what, for me, when I see that clip, that lady playing that elf is the scariest part of that. Come on, Jed. but anyway, this is your time for your feedback. How did Ralphie show courage in that video? Right. He was paralyzed by the fear when he was on Santa's lap, but on the way down he realized, no, and he clawed his way back up the slide, right? Courage. Well, there is a story of courage that took place on that first Christmas. We often miss it because we're so focused in on baby Jesus and the young mother. But the character I want us to focus on today, is Joseph. And when we think of Joseph, the word that comes to my mind, my heart, is courage. Joseph was the one who had heard firsthand that his bride-to-be was pregnant and it wasn't his child. Joseph, though, experienced, didn't he, a personal message from God. And we see Joseph standing by the manger where the baby was laid. He provides protection to Mary and young Jesus in the early years of the child's life. Many people are surprised when they read the gospel accounts to learn that there is not one single syllable from the lips of Joseph that are recorded in the Bible. Had you ever noticed that? Nothing that Joseph ever said is recorded. But he is behind the scenes, leading his family in strength and character. Let's again look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, as I read from the New American Standard. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as we look at the beauty of the Christmas story as you have recorded in your word, Lord, let us see the courage that is in Joseph. And Lord, let us have that same courage today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to look at three aspects about courage today. And the first thing I want you to note is that God gives courage to ordinary people. So here we are in the midst of this miraculous story of the birth of Jesus, and we find this very ordinary man named Joseph. We have this tendency to view biblical characters as superheroes, as extraordinary, special, extremely gifted and talented people, don't we? We seem to want to give them superhuman powers and think they're something different than we are. But folks, you know, that's just not the case. The people that we read about in the Bible were just like us. They were ordinary, average people. These were people with doubts, fears, worries, concerns of life. Well, what makes them stand out is not any special ability they have. What makes them stand out is God's ability to use ordinary people like that in spectacular ways. And that same God can use you and I, who are just ordinary people, in amazing ways. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Look at how Paul states this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29. I've read these verses a number of times in sermons to you over the years, but I want you to focus on how this is put in the Message translation. I love how the Message words this, and it brings out another way of viewing these verses. The Message says, "Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you, not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? Chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God." Here is Joseph, this very ordinary man, but God knew he was a man that could be trusted in the midst of a crisis. He was strong. He was resilient. Matthew said it this way in verse 19. "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man." A righteous man. What does that mean? Simply put, Joseph was a man of honor. He was a man of integrity. When Joseph received the news that Mary was pregnant, did he have concerns about it? Absolutely. But Matthew is reminding us that the number one character trait of Joseph was that he was righteous, that he was a man of honor and integrity. What this means very simply is that in this situation, Joseph displayed moral courage. Do you know what moral courage is? Moral courage is just displaying the character of God Himself in your own life. Now that's tough to do. I recognize that that's difficult to do. It takes some fortitude and it takes trusting in God no matter the outcome. Remember, one of our favorite definitions of faith is faith is not belief in spite of the evidence. It is obedience to God in spite of the consequences. A great example of this happened many, many years ago, back during the Prussian Empire when it controlled most of Central Europe. The great king of the Prussian Empire was Frederick the Great. Frederick the Great was an agnostic. He did not believe in God, much less Christ. But his best military leader was a man named General von Zeeland. Well, General von Zeeland was a very humble and godly Christian man. One time during the reign of Frederick the Great, as General von Zeeland was very, very up in his years, The king, during a party, began making crude jokes, one after the other, about God and Jesus. And as King Frederick the Great told joke after joke, with Jesus being the subject of the joke, and the jokes got cruder and viler, the crowd at the party, in their drunken stupor, roared louder and louder in laughter. But there was one man that wasn't laughing, and that was General von Zeeland. And finally, General von Zeeland rose to his feet, and he addressed the king eye to eye. And here's what he said. Let me quote. "Sire, you know I have not feared death. I have fought and won 38 battles for you. I am an old man. I shall soon have to go into the presence of one far greater than you. The mighty God who saved me from my sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ whom you are blaspheming. Sire, I salute you as my king. But I am an old man standing on the edge of eternity. I'm an old man on the edge of eternity. And sir, you will be giving an account to that same God very soon." How do you think the king reacted? Frederick the Great of the Prussian Empire said this, "General von Zeeland, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon." And General von Zeeland said, "I'm not the one whose pardon you need to beg." And with that, the party quietly ended. That was a man with moral courage. He knew what could have happened to him for facing down the king in such a public way. But yet, he did the right thing. He was a man of courage. Dwight L. Moody said this, "A holy life will make the deepest impression. Lighthouses blow no horns, they just shine." Joseph was a man, as I said, we don't have any words in the scripture from him. He didn't blow his own horn, but you see him steadfastly shining the light of God's courage and character. God gives courage to ordinary people. Second thing I want you to see in our story of Joseph is God gives us courage to overcome our doubts and fears. We can only imagine what Joseph must have felt when he found out that Mary was pregnant. Joseph's an ordinary fella. You know, the first thought that came to his mind would have been the first thought that would have come to my mind if I was in his shoes. Obviously, Mary's been unfaithful to him. He knew the child was not his. He knew she had to have been unfaithful. What emotions do you think he was experiencing? Shock, disappointment, embarrassment, sorrow, grief, anger. Everything was swirling inside of him. But one of the things we see is that Joseph's character, his courage, allowed him to keep rein on those emotions. And so, because of his love for God and his love for Mary, He was compelled to seek a way to protect her. You know what the scripture says? It says that he was going to put her away privately. He had the right to make a public spectacle of her. But he chose not to. That wasn't in his plan. He was the embodiment of 1 Peter 4:8, where the Bible tells us, and above all things, have a fervent love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Can you imagine the rumors that had to be spreading through the community? The neighbors thought, obviously, in their mind, that Joseph and Mary had broken the law. They were obviously in their minds having a sexual relationship. But there's something else, though, that was going on in the heart of Joseph. Joseph knew this because of his courage. When is the right time to do the right thing? When is it the right time to do the right thing? Always. It's always the right time to do the right thing. And that's what he was bound to do. And the third thing that God does for us, God gives us courage to face the future. What did God do for Joseph? In his case, God gave him a vision. God gave him a dream to reinforce his faith. Joseph knew the neighbors weren't going to change their opinion about him and Mary. He knew that the rumors and the gossip would be flying up and down the streets of Nazareth. But when the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, Joseph also knew that God had spoken to him in a special way. Did you see that? Here's Joseph. He's considering putting Mary away. The Bible says, but when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Does God always give a vision to people? Does he always do that? No. But sometimes he does. Sometimes he does. Sometimes God will give you a vision. Sometimes God will speak to you in a dream. Now you have to be wise in discerning those things, you know. Sometimes God does that, and sometimes you just had a bad bologna sandwich before you went to bed, you know. And you got to be wise in that. Sometimes God will lead you to a verse in this holy book that suddenly leaps off the page and speaks to your heart and confirms something for you or reveals something to you in your situation. God doesn't do that every time, but sometimes he does. I've had that experience. Many of you have had that experience. But there is one thing God will always do. You can count on it. If you're a Christian, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside you, you have this promise. He will never, 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 never leave you. He will not forsake you. Jesus said, it's quoted in Hebrews 13:5, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That fact alone gives us courage to face the future. Another one of my favorite verses is Romans 8:31, where Paul writes and says simply, if God is for us, who can be against us? Doesn't matter what forces line up against you. If God is for you, you're in the majority and you're going to win. You're going to win. When we face doubts, when we face fears, When we face uncertain futures, aren't we all tempted to want to avoid the wilderness? We want to stay in our comfort zone. If we're going to have to walk through a wilderness time in our lives where it's going to be hard, we try to find a way around that. Or we want to make a U-turn, try to avoid it. You see, we're afraid of the wilderness. There's giants in the wilderness. There's thirst in the wilderness. There's need in the wilderness. There's heat in the wilderness. There's cold in the wilderness. In the wilderness, there might be gossip against you. In the wilderness, you might get mocked. There might be teasing. You might be cursed. In the wilderness, you find nothing but hardship and struggle. But do you know, it's only after going through the wilderness that you reach the promised land. Show anybody, any person in the Bible, that God used in mighty ways that didn't have to go through the wilderness before they got to the promised land. You won't find it. Everybody that God has used in amazing ways in this book, they had to journey through the wilderness. Does God always give a vision? Does God always give you that special verse that just rings clear like a bell and you go, I got it? No. Sometimes He does, sometimes He doesn't. But He's always promised to be with you. Sometimes the Lord calms the storm. Sometimes He doesn't. Sometimes the Lord calms the storm. Sometimes He lets the storm rage and calms His child. I'll put those words up on the screen. I want you to say them out loud with me. Sometimes the Lord calms the storm. Sometimes He lets the storm rage and calms His child. I want that burned into your heart this morning. God, as we see in Joseph, God gives courage to ordinary people like you and me. God gives courage to face our doubts and our fears. And God gives courage to face the future. Some of you are facing some fears a lot more than a jack-in-the-box popping out of a toy. All of us at times are faced with things we don't want to deal with. And we want to say, God, let it pass. Get me out of this. Remember Joseph. He was a righteous man. He let God's character shine through. Did God let Joseph down? Nope. Will God let you down? No. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the encouragement we find in a man that comes on to the pages of Scriptures very suddenly and then very quietly and just as suddenly disappears. Lord, we know that he was a plain, ordinary, simple man, but a man that loved You. And God, he's no different than we are. We love You. And we're simple, ordinary people. But yet, God, we know that You can give us that same courage that Joseph had. Lord, I pray for someone and or people, Lord, here today that are struggling and dealing with things that are so fearful for them as they look towards their future. Lord, let them trust in you to either calm the storm or calm their heart. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.